You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord.
Page 1181. Our next reading, Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 20. Page 1181 in the church Bibles. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As Andy said when I offered him one of the readings, there are two great readings. They really are. And he was struggling to know which one he had a choice to choose because he loved them so much. And that's so good. So Tim, come and open up to us. And Lord, we just pray that your spirit has been flowing through Tim as he's been preparing his words for us this morning. And open our hearts and minds to receive that message you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for both the readers. That was very flamboyant and very, very special. It makes me nervous to try and even compete with that. But I hope you enjoy this as much as I enjoyed researching this. Manage in your mind God's way. Now, I put myself under a few tests to see what my mind was doing on its own. So I turned my music off on the way to work. And to be honest with you, when I got to work, I was quite devastated. My mind was all over the place. It was thinking things that I hadn't thought about for years. And I thought, this can't be right. God's taught me better than this. So then the next day, on the way to work and the one on the way home, I thought about God. And everything changed. My concentration was it's just spot on. Everything I was doing was just so special. Just looking out the window and seeing the birds flying in the sky or the beautiful trees, everything. Everything was highlighted. Now, the power of thought. I'm just going to read a verse to you. This day I call the heaven and the earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, death, life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. This reading was Deuteronomy Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 to 20. It's a great verse and a great and powerful invitation to us, people of God, to choose life. But how do we do that in this day? How do we actually practice that as followers of Jesus in 2023? Well, I believe it all begins in our minds, in our thoughts and our life, and with the thoughts and mindset that we allow to take up space in our minds. Our thoughts are incredibly powerful, and both scripture and science tell us our thoughts determine our choices, and our choices determine our lives. We know from a reading, John chapter 10, verse 10, that Jesus desires life in all its fullness for us. We read again in Ephesians 3, 20. Bear with me, sorry. Where we are told that those that follow Jesus can expect life that is exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever have hoped, dreamed or imagined. But what has this got to do with our thoughts today? It's got everything to do with our thoughts. I've broken this down into seven different subtitles. This is thinking about what you are thinking about. Now, the amazing thing, this is the bit I got all excited about. There's a lot going on in our heads all the time, with over 80 billion neurons, 2.5 million gigabytes of storage, and over 50,000 thoughts a day. The human brain is truly astounding. It can store an estimated 2.5 gigabytes. That is about 3.5 years of your favourite Netflix show. And it generates enough electricity to light a small light bulb. So how many thoughts do you think we have each day? Well, the average is between 50 and 70,000 thoughts. That's a lot of thinking. But upsettingly, a majority, an estimated 60 or to 70% of these thoughts are negative. And negative thoughts can have an impact on us, body, soul, and spirit. You see, our thoughts are a seed that we sow and we reap the fruits, which is why Proverbs 4:23 tells us to be very careful about what you think. Your thoughts run your life. This is why we must think about what we are thinking about and not just entertain any thought that comes into our minds. When we think negative thoughts, our brain actually draws precious energy from the prefrontal cortex. That is the part of the brain where we do all our best thinking. With these negative thoughts, the brain cannot perform to a high or even normal capacity, which is a problem when you've been designed to be living your life to the full. Right now, I invite you to take a moment to think about what thoughts you've been allowing to take up your space in your mind. Positive thinking is God's idea. Let's look at positive thinking. We hear about it on social media, TV, in the books, everywhere we go. The phrase positive thinking, or the challenge to think positively, is here, there, and everywhere. But is this phrase at all biblical? Let's read Philippians 4, verse 8, and see. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Here we are being instructed to fill our minds with things that we know impact our well-being, reduce anxiety, ease depression, stress, and worry, and generally lift our mood and mindset. So thinking healthy, holy thoughts, otherwise known as positive thinking, is all God's idea in the first place. You see, our thoughts aren't in alignment with the Word of God. And if we aren't using Scripture to frame our thoughts, as we are invited to do here, and we are open to thinking any toxic, harmful or negative thought that enters our mind. And then we go into Lectio Divina for managing your mind. The ancient practice of Lectio Divina, which simply translates into divine reading, this practice consists of four distinct steps: to read, to meditate, to respond, and finally to rest and contemplate. As we read again Philippians 4 verse 8, on this second reading of the passage, imagine the Holy Spirit highlighting a particular word, concept, or phrase that connects with you right now. You will notice your attention being drawn to something from the living and active Word of God. So as I read this again, I invite the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to make us see what he wants us to see. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And on the third reading of this passage, listen now for the Father's invitation and respond from your heart. The Father is always inviting us to do some, in some way, to let go of something, to take up something, to do something or be something. Following the reading, continue to listen to his invitation and then respond silently or out loud in an honest heart. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now we're taking our thoughts captive, as read in Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When we look at the way we have been created and designed, it points us to the Creator, who is full of compassion, kindness, infinite wisdom, especially when it comes to how your brain works. You see, you're designed and have the ability to stand outside of yourself, observe your thoughts, and if necessary, change them. This means that you do not have to be at mercy of the chaotic mind or a history of negative thinking, because we have the ability to always choose a better thought. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. In fact, I know myself that this is hard work, but the rewards are so powerful. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that this: for God has not given us a heart of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. As a follower of Jesus, a sound mind is your portion, and it is available to you today. Taking thoughts captive is a real game changer when it comes to your well-being. You can have all the candlelit baths, all the gym workouts, the clean eating, the meditation in this world, if you're thinking unhelpful thoughts that don't serve you, you cannot manage your mind. Then you will never truly experience the sound mind that Paul writes about in 2 Timothy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience with your obedience is complete. Gratitude shapes our attitude. This actually sprung me into action. I hadn't seen my business partner for three years. And we had been together for 10, 11, maybe 12 years. And I worked with him every day. And as I hadn't heard from him, I picked the phone up in a moment of rest. And I just phoned him and I said, "Thank you for being my friend." And it touched his heart so much that he wants to meet up. So when God puts this on your heart to thank the people around you, do it, because it's so rewarding. In her book, On Your Brain, Dr. Caroline Leaf writes this: "Every morning when you wake up, new baby nerve cells have been born while you were sleeping. That are at your disposal to be used in tearing down toxic thoughts, rebuilding healthy thoughts. The birth of these new baby nerve cells is called neurogenesis, which brings to mind the Lord's mercy on you every morning." Lamentations 3, verse 23. What a wonderful and life-giving truth this is. So every morning when you wake, there are new mercies for you. And part of this process is happening in a cellular level in your brain. Let's use this principle of neurogenesis to lean into one of the most powerful practices for managing your mind, and that is gratitude. According to Harvard Medical School, gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. It can also reduce anxiety. But of course, if you had read Philippians 4, you would already know that. The verse reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." There are just so many things that we can be grateful for. We can be grateful to God for creating us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, for loving us, for rescuing us, for redeeming us. What are you grateful for? If you're grateful for a particular person, why not tell them? Make a regular habit of this. Gratitude finally does shape our attitude. It's just one of the many tools and gifts that God has given you. And the last one is firing and wiring. Psychotherapist and pastor Joe Hargreaves writes, "We must change the way we think before we can change the way we live." What she means is this: that we get ingrained in negative thinking, allowing critical and unhelpful thoughts to grow in our minds. These thoughts become a habit. Once these thoughts become a habit, they impact the way we live and our perspective towards God, other people, and towards ourselves. You see, our thoughts that fire together, wire together. The more we think, the more it becomes ingrained in our thinking, and the more we become to believe it. This is because the thought connection in your brain literally becomes stronger. So does this mean that we're stuck with our negative thoughts Does this mean that we, that these thoughts are wired together? Well, no, they're not. Because God, that with God, there's always hope. God is a giver of good gifts. God wired a gift in our brains. When he knitted us together, it's called neuroplasticity. Simply put, neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to change and adapt due to experience. This means our brains is not fixed, leaving us with negative thoughts. It means our brains are able to adapt and change and to rewire themselves according to their experience and to what information we give it. Basically, what thoughts we think, this is good God news. Right now, on this date, wherever you are, just make a decision to align your thoughts with God's word and to feed your mind with that. So your mind becomes, your thoughts become, and they all become a full and healthy and holy life. And finally, let's pray. God, I thank you for everyone listening today. Whoever they are, I pray that you would reveal to them how fearfully and wonderfully made they are. I pray you would remind them that you knitted them together and that you will finish the good work that you started. I pray that nobody feels condemned or criticized for what they have been thinking, but instead, with your grace and love, that they would capture their negative thoughts and make them obedient to you. Help us all to manage our minds your way, Jesus. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim.